Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, Kingdom citizens. It is another day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Well, welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. So glad you decided to join us tonight. Well, guess who I've got coming on shortly? I know you guys saw the post. I know you read her bio. But I am so excited about this woman of God that is coming on to tell us some of the great things that she's got going on up in the Washington area. Let me read a little bit about her before I bring her on. Platinum is a native Washingtonian and the youngest of five siblings. She is an actress, writer, life coach, mentor, and entrepreneur. Since 1998, Platinum has professionally entertained audiences with her gifts, talents from the East Coast to the West Coast and Puerto Rico. She has shared from a few of gospel greats. I love Marette Brown Clark, Willie Jolly, oh, Vicky Yohe, Stephen Hurd, Lisa McClendon, that's my girl, Andre Crouch, and the list goes on and on. She has interviewed by radio personalities on WHURA and Heaven 1580, and she was also featured in the Washington Post, Prince George's Gazette, as well as other periodicals. Platinum is the only female mentor with the Christian Comedy Association. And in 2004, she self-published first DVD, Triple Platinum, live, a one-woman stand-up comedy show. This woman is doing some phenomenal stuff. Platinum also writes a bi-weekly e-newsletter titled Word Up since 2009, and her favorite scripture is Matthew 6:33. You know what it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. So without further ado, kingdom citizens, help me welcome Platinum. Platinum, are you on the air?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Hey, this is the day the Lord has made, Evangelist Reed. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen, amen. Now, I just was reading just a little bit about what you got going on, lady. But I want you to tell our listening audience, kind of tell them how you started. How did, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I started when I was young and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So I want you to tell our listening audience, you know, your story and how you got started. Because a lot of times you weren't the class clown, were you?
Not really. Really. Not really. But I just enjoy messing with people at times. But sometimes you just don't really know what you're doing when you're doing it at that time. So I just didn't realize what I was doing. But when I saw something, I just act on it. You know what I mean? Sometimes it got me in trouble and sometimes it didn't. But no, I guess really just You know, I just felt a sense of something was missing in my life. You know, I'm like, something's got to be going on here, and I'm not sure what it is. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's a husband, maybe it's not. And then it was really all about my calling. And so once I got a sense of what my calling was, it was on from there. And even though in a sense I was really doing those things, but just really not aware of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you always been up in the Washington area? Because I got family up there.
Yeah, born and raised. I was raised over in Southeast D.C. We moved to Maryland when I was around 17 years old, but pretty much grew up in the district.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, cool then. Well, maybe next time we scoot up that way, because my sister lives in Laurel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Matter of fact, I got a sister living in Laurel, too.
Look, now I got a place to come and hang out when I come up in the area other than family.
Exactly. Amen. Anytime.
Amen. Now, so I'm going to kind of jump back a little bit because now you're the youngest of five siblings. So, and I guess that's where I was leading to because when I was talking about you weren't the class. So did your family, did they know, you know, that you like to make people laugh or did you do that then? Or, you know, how did you really know, you know, when did you start really operating in the calling of, you know, a comedian?
I mean, I know they know that I got on their nerves. But, you know, my mom used to company. I used to love to entertain. You know, it wasn't so much, well, I remember doing a lot of dancing and getting on the table, so I might have made them laugh. And my sister, my older sister, and her boyfriend, when he used to come over, I used to entertain him, and she used to hate me so much. She said, oh, he's the only one that likes you. I didn't really get my calling, let's see, in 98. So, I mean, I was really grown at that point. But like I said, growing up, I always did stuff, but, you know, just really never took notice on what I was doing. It just kind of came natural to me. So not even noticing that what I was doing, and I guess nobody else really told me either.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question because I know a lot of times, because, again, it says in 98 you professionally started doing this. When you got up the first time on stage professionally to do this, did it, like you said, did it feel natural? Because, you know, you're my first comedian that I've ever interviewed. So, like a singer, like I am, you know, sometimes you gotta, you know, you have those butterflies and you're like, you know, are the people going to laugh? You know, are they going to like me? So is that kind of how you felt the first time that you got up on stage and you really decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do?
Yeah, it did. Matter of fact, well, that one, I think my first one was doing a show at my church, and then I decided to go ahead and do it professionally. And so I really kind of did this talent show, and I was dressed up like, I had this wig, and I forgot why I had it. And it reminds me of Tina Turner, so I had this little short dress. I put that on, put the wig on. I said, ooh, I'm going to go be Tina Turner. So I'm doing it for all the little church folks, and so it was a talent show, and this guy was like, you know, he was kind of booing me. I said, how dare you boo me? This was your talent show. How do you boo me? And from there, I kind of created this character by the name of Mama D. And so I don't know, I'm quite sure you heard of Braddock Rice.
Yes.
Matter of fact, he was doing something at my church, and I was just sitting there watching him and everything. But, I mean, as far as being in front of the audience, I always feel I think I'm more nervous sitting in my seat than it is when I get on the stage.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of like anticipation makes me nervous. But once I'm on the stage, something just kind of happens. I don't know if it's the spotlights, whatever. It just, you know what I mean? Just something happens when you get up on that anointing or something. It's just something about being on that stage, you know, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Wow,
but anyway,
that's
Roddick,
phenomenal.
he was performing. I'm sitting in the audience, and he said, oh, Miss Blondie, you look like you got some money. And I looked at him. I said, I'm not Blondie. I am Platinum. And so afterwards, my pastor had introduced me formally to him, and he asked me, did I have a stage name? You know, he said, hey, pray with her. You know, she's getting into comedy. You know, give her a little, you know, hints or whatever, you know, stuff you need to do as a comedian. And then first he was, did I have a stage name? And I was like, well, no. And I said, well, I have this character, Mama D, but I don't want that to be me. You know what I mean? Because I like variety, so I don't want to be boxed in. Besides, Sister Cantaloupe was dressing like a older woman. I didn't want to copy her fasana, even though I wasn't quite looking like her, but I just didn't want to be this old lady. So he said, well, hey, let your name be Platinum. I said, Platinum, okay, I kind of like that. And so that's how the stage name Platinum came about. But, you
wow.
know, comedy, I also...
Well, you know what I was going to ask you, was it because of your hair?
Right, that's how we're right. He originally got the name from, but I'm like, what if I change? He said, it doesn't matter, because once you establish, you know, that's your name. You know, I guess if you think about Pink, you know, her hair ain't always pink no more, but I guess during the time that she was really out there. But, so he was kind of saying, once you establish, it doesn't matter, you know, if you change
yeah.
your hair, because now people know you as that.
Exactly, exactly. I love that. Now, one of the things that you were talking about, because you said when you first started, you kind of, and you have a lot of those people that take on a character, but then you say you didn't want to, you know, put yourself in a box, and I like that. So kind of what usually your stage, I'm not going to say act, but I'm going to say your stage anointing, and when you get out there, do you talk about, you know, life issues, you know, personal stuff? Kind of tell a listening audience kind of what, you know, if you were to be on stage, what kind of things would they, you know, hear from Platinum?
Well, it depends on what's going on at that time in my life. So I talk about family. I'll talk about bills. I'll talk about work. You know, talk about relationships. So basically those things, a little bit of politics. So, you know, kind of depends on what's going on. So kind of give them a variety of stuff. I mean, here's what's going on in life. And a lot of people say, where do you get your material from? And I would say 9 times out of 10, most comedians are either getting it from their personal life, they're getting it from the news. Depends on what's their interest, where they're pulling their material from. Because somebody asked me that too. What do you think about comedians doing politics, and do you think it's wrong, or talking about gay people? So, you know, it all depends on what's your interest. You know, I would say, for instance, one lady that works for me, a coworker, she's in a mobile chair. I guess she can walk a little bit, but I guess she needs her chair to really get around.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, you should do some jokes on handicapped people. And I'm like, I can't really do jokes on handicapped people because it would probably fall off flat. You know, if I had a handicapped my family, or if she was really my friend and I, you know, we did a lot of interacting together, then it would
mm-hmm.
be easier to probably do a bit about me and her relationship or someone in my family relationship, because I don't have anybody that I'm connected to that close. So to tell a joke about handicapped people wouldn't come off too good.
Exactly, because like you said, you don't have that established relationship, you know, with somebody like that. Exactly. Now let me ask you a question. So now I read this, said that you have 2 books, but I didn't get the title of the book. So kind of tell me about your books.
Oh, the first book is called Heavenly Inspiration. And I wrote that back in, had it been, I would say late 90s, early 2000, when I first started, I was acting, in which all the acting were comedic roles. As a matter of fact, my first acting gig, I played a character by the name of Miss Shutane, and actually she had blonde hair. So I wore a platinum wig with Miss Shutane, so that's interesting. Later on that, I turned around and dyed my hair that color. So that book was called Heavenly Inspiration, and that was basically poems and letters
mm-hmm.
I wrote. And so my whole thing was, okay, when I'm done acting, you know, people come up, they want your signature. What could I give someone to remember me? And so I was like, put those things together, because I've been writing, you know, over the years. So he said, compile all that, put it in a book, and that could be something that you can give to your audience. And then the next book, or Heavenly Inspiration, which I wrote in 2004. The first one was Heavenly Inspiration. The second one is His Eyes Are Upon Me.
Okay.
And that's pretty much consists of the same thing, but it's a larger book, so it has a little bit where you can journal in it. It has a little words that you can meditate on. On the back of the book, I have something called Walking in the Word. So I have a 7-day devotion. It has a part in there where you can read and kind of write journal for yourself. So it has different parts to that book, and that one's called His Eyes Are Upon Me. And then, of course, my DVD that I did. And so all of the books and everything is all self-published, self-produced, self-written. Except mine now, and I did a one-woman stage play called The Naomi Story. I had a friend who wrote that, and I sort of came in and added my two cents to it. And that's based on the book. So, and I just kind of made it a little bit more comedic than, you know, he took the Book of Ruth and made it a story because, you know, I was speaking to him. I said, you know what, I love to take this Book of Ruth and make it a story. I said, everybody always talking about Ruth. Or at least from, you know, when you think of it as the Book of Ruth, I say, I want to be, well, I'm Naomi, and I'm going to be telling my story. And So he wrote it, and I started, you know, doing a one-woman stage skit on it.
Wow, I like that. I like that. Now, tell our listening audience, how can they get your DVD?
They can always go to my website, and that's platinumthechristiancomedian.info. Again, that's platinumthechristiancomedian.info. And I know Sean gave you a flyer I'm having this coming weekend, end of summer.
I was going to ask you about that, too. So tell us about the event you've got coming up, because you got some phenomenal other women of God comedians that are going to be on there. It was a Cassandra Archer, Angela Moore. Kind of tell us a little bit about how you picked these, you know, these awesome women.
Yeah, Angela Moore, I remember when I first started doing comedy. Matter of fact, she used to be in the audience, and she used to always come up and she would come up and talk to me and tell me she enjoyed the show. And then maybe a year or two later, I get an email from her. How can I get in this? I really want to do this. And so I just shared with her about the business as much as I knew about it and guided her whatever way, you know, to, you know, mentor based on what I know, what I've been doing. Sandra Archer the same way. She was already out there, I think, when I met her. And again, I just shared with her about the business, because I think when she was doing gigs, she didn't have a contract. I said, you should always give somebody a contract. So I showed her the importance of giving a contract when you're doing something. And Simply Shirley, I met her at a conference in Tennessee, the Christian Comedy Association conference in Tennessee, that was some years ago. So that's how I kind of connect with them. And then I decided, let me bring all them together. And, you know, I like having different comedians on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, let me bring them together. I thought they were all interesting candidates. So I wanted to bring them all together on this particular show. And most time people look at it, is it all women? It's for women's only? I said, no, it's not for women's only. I just happen to have all female comedians. You know, they're all great, different ages. So it Simply Shirley is just awesome. All of them awesome. And I think Simply Shirley, I think she's been doing it maybe less than 5 years, but, you know, she's an awesome comedian. And Angela, she's growing. She's awesome. Especially Sandra Archer, who's the diva of comedy. She's just everywhere.
Wow.
So I love her. She's just all over the place. And I think she's less than probably, well, let me see. No, she might be about five. No, she's probably about 7-8 years now.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, those of you that are listening in the D.C., Maryland, Baltimore area, this is going to be taking place this Saturday.
Yeah, but only thing is sold out about weeks ago.
Oh, my God. Well, y'all can't get in then. You're just going to have to look. You're going to have to peep through the window. Oh, my God. Y'all going to peep through the window. But now, are you guys going to be recording this? So later on, you'll be able to sell the DVD?
I may record it, but we don't have a professional recorder there, no. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the interesting mm-hmm. thing about this Evangelist Reed is I did it in 2013. I only had 30 people. This time I got 240 people.
Wow.
Ain't that something? It's kind of like, what happened?
Wow,
so,
that's all,
you know,
God.
A little line dancing. So, you know, I that's my little exercise on the side. So I do a little social line dancing. So, and at the end uh-huh. of the show, we're going to do a little line dancing. So they'll eat, they'll laugh, and then they'll dance it off.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, I just got off the phone with somebody that that knows you, a pastor, is it Strader?
Pastor Strader.
Am I saying it wrong? Strader? Maybe I said it wrong. Pastor Strader. He's with GMAP Broadcasting Network.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, he said, he said, make sure you tell Platinum that I said hi.
Hey, Pastor Strada. Yeah, I interviewed him the early part of this month. Time going so fast.
He said you had interviewed with him and you were telling him about his event. He thought it was this past week. And I said, no, it's coming up this week. And he was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, because he was like, well, I said, you know what? No sense of placing the ad now. And I said, and when I was talking to him, I said, I'm shutting it down. And, you know, I said, that's enough people.
Yes. Well, kind of tell me what your perspective is on this, because I'm noticing now, I mean, and I think a lot of people are too, Christian comedy is now really being more accepted, you know, in the Christian community, you know, more so than, of course, you know, the secular, you know, comedians. What is your take on that? I mean, because, you know, do you think that, you know, the Tyler Perrys have opened the door for all of that? Kind of give your perspective on that, because like I said, I see a lot of men Christian comedians, but there's not a lot of women Christian comedians, or they haven't been exposed yet. Let's just put it like that.
I guess you say it's still a male-dominant world, but I guess if you look at it, when we talk on the Christian side of it, you know, a lot of people say Sister Cantaloupe was sort of that trailblazer on the Christian side of it, you know, opening up the doors for the other Christian comedians. And I think there is a difference between a secular comedian and a Christian comedian. And I believe with being a Christian comedian, we're always lifting up the Lord, lifting up the word somewhere within our routine. You know what I mean? It's not really just talking about the sister sitting in the back with the big hat. You know what I mean? So it's sort of into that word in your comedy as you go along. You know, you're not preaching, because that certainly is not what people call you there to do. But it's a way of also taking his everyday life, here's a little bit of scripture, tell you how to make it through that. And so that's what it is to me. You know, I said, because what distinguishes you as a Christian comedian? And then I heard a lot of, but I've heard from a couple of secular comics who have turned over to doing Christian comedy. They kind of just go under the title as clean comedian. You know, because once they label themselves as a Christian comedian, then the doors in the secular world has closed to them, which is unfortunate. So it ends up coming, okay, no, he done turned over. Nobody wants to hear that holy stuff. But don't realize that, you know, I guess those who have done secular comedy and come in and do Christian comedy, I think if they go back into that world, they shouldn't be changed. You know, their material should relatively be somewhat the same. You know what I mean? But a lot of, you know, once they add on Christian comedian, the people in the secular world sort of close the door to them. So that part of the business has now been cut off to them.
Exactly. And that, like you said, that's so misfortunate. It really, really is. Now, one of the things that when I read in your bio, I got kind of chuckled. It said in October 2011, Platinum was blessed to audition for America's Got Talent, which she is patiently awaiting a callback, as well as a godly husband. I got kind of tickled at that, because just kind of talk about your experience with America's Got Talent audition, because I've heard a lot of different things. So what kind of material were you able to kind of present, you know, during that time for your audition?
Well, when I did them, I did a bit on my work relation, you know, that little bit I do about work. And so the interesting thing, I was in church, I was taking a class, I don't know what class I was taking in. And so anyway, the teacher told us to pray, you know, get a partner and y'all pray about something. So my prayer to that partner was, you know what, I don't always think I'm funny, you know, like that. And so I said, let's pray about that. And so we prayed about it. She prayed about her husband. And I tell you, that very next day, I'm sitting at my desk, my phone rang, and I answered, and this woman on the phone, she tells me she's from American Got Talent. And I'm like, American Got Talent, okay. She's have you ever heard of them? And I was like, well, yeah. I said, I don't really watch it. I said, I kind of flipped through it. You know, I never really You know, if I'm watching this probably like 5-10 minutes, once commercial on, I'm gone, you know. I said, but I know what it is. I said, but I can't tell you I really ever watched a full show. So she was saying, well, how would you like to audition for it? I was like, okay. Sound like a winner to me. I said, well, how did you get my name? She said, I got your name off the internet. So, I mean, if that's not God, out of all these people in the world, you pick my name off of the internet. You know, if that's not interesting. And so I went and I auditioned. Like I said, I didn't hear back from them, so I'm still waiting. They're going to call me one of these days.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Let's kind of shift a little bit. If you had the opportunity to be on stage with one of your mentors that you think that you could tell us, who would that be?
Let's see. If I got a chance to be on the stage with somebody right now, who you mean far as comedian wise?
Yes.
I haven't really thought about that. Hey, any of them would do. You know, I really have not thought about that. That's a good question. That's like the channel Fox News. That's a good question. Interesting. Okay, Reverend Evangelist Reed. I've not thought about that. I would love to be on the stage with probably Small Fire, because she is a hoop. Small Fire.
Wow.
She used to be Small Fry, but now her name is Small Fire.
Uh-huh.
That is hilarious. So I've never done a show with her, but she is hilarious. I think she's she lives in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think she'd be funny. Or even Willie Brown and Woody.
Okay. All right. Wow, that sounds cool. Now, if we had someone that was listening and you wanted to just kind of, you know, give them something, some inspirational things as far as getting started in the business, what kind of information, you know, would you share with them? What would you, you know, kind of share with them to help them along, you know, getting started?
Now, I have one of my mentees. His name is Menace. And a church member, he would come up to me, and I had a few church members, some my pastor referred, would come up to me, and he would say, hey, they want to be a comedian, help them out. You know, my first thing was sit down and write. You know, try to write at least 5 minutes worth of material, because if you write 5 minutes at least of material, you can at least get on stage for 5 minutes. And even though 5 minutes seems short, but when you're on stage and you're nervous, 5 minutes is an eternity. So 5 minutes worth of material, write it out, you know, get another comedian or family member or somebody, practice in front of them. Let them hear your material and just perfect that material. So, like I said, I would start with at least 5 minutes, and then from 5 minutes, build on and keep building on and keep building on, and then go. You don't really find too many open mics, but they are out here, and just find where you can practice your material, open mic, or I guess now they have open mics like with mixed with the spoken word, and find an open mic, just work on practicing your material.
Wow,
you know,
because
I'm always like, when I first started, I went to some of the secular clubs. You know, I used to do. They had a lot of open mics out back then, even though I was a Christian comedian. I was, you know, and I read books up on it. You know, anything I read books on how to write material. So I also got books on the field, and I would study those. And in the first thing, whenever you out, go find your open mic. So I found open mics, and I would just go to the open mics, and I would just say my material. You know, whether it was funny or not, it was funny to me. So, but you don't know sometimes until you get on the stage. And I would always say, no matter who you are, somewhere in life, you do a show, you're going to bomb.
Yeah.
You know, that just part of the business, and don't take it personal, because you can kind of take it real personal, like, okay, I can't do this no more. But, you know, no matter how, I mean, I've told jokes, I know one particular bit that just had people in the floor, went to one place and ain't nobody crack a smile. Like, oh, goodness gracious.
And like you say, you have to be prepared, and you need to be prepared for that.
Yeah, and I tell people, don't die with them. You know, you kind of make light of it. Ooh, yes, ooh, goodness gracious, y'all make me work hard up in here. Y'all need to pay me some more money.
I like that. I love that. I like that.
And
well,
see, and then they'll laugh. I mean, because they know in their mind you done bad, or maybe you did do bad, you know. But if you go ahead and play with what they already perceive to be happening, you know, everybody's laughing.
Exactly, exactly. I love it. I love it. Well, Platinum, we are at the end of our 7 o'clock hour with our interview, and I am just so elated, and I so appreciate you taking the time to come on and, you know, to be interviewed and tell us about this big event you got coming on this weekend. And guys, you've already missed it. If you haven't got your tickets, it's too late. It's already sold out. And you're gonna have to teach when I get up. You're gonna teach me how to line dance too.
Oh, we'll do, honey. There's so many line dance. And also,
I know that's right.
Give a shout out to Sean Hay with Hay Peppy Promotions for setting this whole thing up. Just thank him; he's a great guy. Matter of fact, when I was doing my Monday night open mic, I actually interviewed him. I had a little segment called "Look Who's Talking." I had him on there.
Wow! So, yeah, and, well, Sean is a sweetheart. I love him.
Yes, and thank you for having me as well, and just sharing. With your listening audience. And you're out of
thank
where?
You.
You're not here in Maryland?
I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. If y'all never leave me, I tell people I'm not a band-aid. I ain't stuck here.
I know that's right. I know that's right. So but before we close out, tell everybody again how they can reach you. And then what we do is I ask my guests to close us out with a word of prayer. So if you would do that, I would definitely appreciate that.
If you want to reach me, you can reach me at www.platinumthechristiancomedian.info. Again, that's platinumthechristiancomedian.info. And
amen.
Hallelujah. God, you are gracious, you are merciful,
yes.
And you are wonderful,
yes.
God. There is none like you in all the earth.
Yes.
First, seek ye first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all things shall be added unto us. So, God, we're just going to seek you, and we're going to believe in all that you have given our hearts and our minds to do, Lord, as we walk in your word, lifting you up, that you may draw all men unto you. And Lord, I ask you to be right now here with Evangelist Reed and her show and all that you have tasked her hands and her hearts to do, Lord, that you would just be with her, to bless her, guide her, do something to her, through her, with her, and God. Because you know we got a work to do here on this earth. All said and done, we're going to look to heaven and give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Kingdom Citizens, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time to listen in. We love you. And as we always close out the show, let's talk. Good night, everybody. Platinum, good night. Much success on Saturday, lady.